They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Shu Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WEBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights. On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Shu Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax. Today we're joined by Ileana Johnson. Ileana is an American by choice, who is originally from Romania. She's a freelance writer. She's the author of a number of books, and she's a speaker and a frequent radio commentator as well. And she also maintains a webpage, IleanaJohnson.com, and we'll get that to you so you can check it out. Ileana, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Shu. Thank you for having me so much.
You wrote, and one of the articles that you wrote was, "Everybody loves to hate homeowner associations." And can you tell me why everybody loves to hate homeowner associations?
Well, first of all, I'd like to preface this, that this article was written in 2013.
Yes.
2 years ago, following a trip that I took to Brentwood, Tennessee. And why does everyone hate homeowner associations? Well, it's sort of a microcosm of political control, communist control from my point of view, because I grew up under communists for 20 years. And since it's coming soon, pretty soon for us, next week, we're going to have a complete visit, and they're literally doing an entire MRI of our home. Every nook and cranny is going to be examined with a microscope to make sure that it is in line with their views of what our home should look like. And I understand that we signed a contract before we were able to build a home in this community. And the contract is pretty large. It has probably 150 pages, but it's getting more and more intrusive as those who are part of the HOA are recycling through the committee.
So wait, you say they're coming, do they enter your house and go through everything inside the house as well?
No, so far not. Hopefully they won't do it this time, but it's a new association for us, and they have actually sent us a 3-page memo detailing everything that they're going to look at. And I am just shocked because it is so extensive. It leaves no leaf unturned outside of my house, basically.
Do they have the authority to come on your property?
You know, I usually read what I'm interested in, and obviously the HOA document was not something that I was interested in because it's called a covenant book. And to me, a covenant has more of a religious connotation than just a control of my home. So I only read the pages that I needed to read. But they do not have permission to come on the property. But that doesn't mean that if we're not home, they're not going to.
With the advent of drones, now they want to use, or there's a suggestion, that they use drones to examine your backyard.
That's a possibility. I have not seen any drones buzzing low, right, in on our property, but that doesn't mean that there are not drones higher up. We don't know that. But as far as HOA is concerned, I don't think they have acquired a drone yet.
Not yet. They don't have it. They're looking at it. They say if Amazon can deliver packages with drones, and that's still a few years down the road, then maybe HOAs should be able to enforce covenant by the use of drones. I have heard of associations who have cited people because of something they saw in a satellite picture. So you've got satellites up there, and they kind of zoom in, and they see, oh, what have you got? These things shouldn't be a problem. They shouldn't be a problem anyway, but these things should not be a problem if they're not causing any problems. You say they're going to come in and they're going to check you, and they've got 3 pages. Is that what you said?
Yep, they send us 3 pages of things that they're going to check. And it's very, very detailed. Well, apparently we can no longer even put a storm door on the back of the house without their permission. And my next door neighbor, who has not built a deck yet but is trying to, came to our door twice to get my signature and my husband's signature so that they could build a deck in their backyard. Really, wasn't one signature sufficient?
I don't understand it. I mean, the controls, and it just gets worse. I've been doing this for almost 28 years, and for 28 years, it's just getting worse. Every single year, they get more and more permission to do things. The statutes, enabling statutes, are enacted, which means that any new governing documents will have the power written into it. And once you sign on to it, it's, hey, you know, you agreed, didn't you? Nobody, I don't think, agrees to going through what you're going to be going through next week.
That's true. And I'm looking at these 3 pages, and some of the words that jump at me are non-conforming, and it's not just non-conforming style, non-conforming size, non-conforming previous construction, unapproved, unsafe. In other words, these people have become the arbiter of what is conformist and what is not, and what is safe and what is not safe, and have they approved it or not approved it, and is it professional or unprofessional? So here you have some busybodies who love to control other people's lives, and they're going to decide what is and what is not conforming. And that is very troublesome to me, because we lived in a type of HOA when we actually lived or rented apartments under communism, and that was a different story. But it's still control.
Tell us about that and how it differs.
Well,
or doesn't differ.
Well, it is different, but it isn't. The main thread of the two situation is control. In Romania, we had control of the Communist Party and their apparatchiks. Here, we have control of people that I have not chosen, who are members of the board, and they're coming to tell me what to do or not to do to my own home. And I've had one guy who came and told me with a straight face that my tree in the backyard was not dead. So I asked him point blank, who died and made you a dendrologist? This is a dead tree. But anyway, I'm digressing. So we lived in these 300 square feet tiny apartments, which we rented, whereas here we paid dearly to buy this home. So we're not renting, but we lived in 300 square feet tiny apartments. They were rented. We were forced to form, and I emphasize forced, to form a homeowners association of sorts. We had to pay dues for all the repairs to the building, to the plumbing, to the roof, the grounds, and even the stairwell maintenance. And we had to actually pay or employ a mechanic, and we had to pay him. So even though we were not really the owners of the building or of the apartments, we paid subsidized rent to the communist government. but we had to do all the repairs and maintenance to that building. Well, here is a similar situation. We own the home, we pay dues, and they're not cheap, and the only thing that are really benefiting us is the fact that we have trash pickup and sometimes snow removal. And I say that sometimes with a straight face because sometimes it may be close to when the snow starts melting. But anyway.
And sometimes that could be several days later, right?
Exactly. So under communism, we had to even take turns to sweep and mop the hallways and maintain all the common areas and so forth. At least the HOA is maintaining the common areas. The problem is that the common areas are usually tended to very nicely, and they are in the vicinity of those who seek to be on these boards. They're the best lit areas and so forth. They don't do much of anything else for anybody else on the property. So so there are similarities and differences. And then, under communism, several times a year, we had to do volunteer work, but it was forced volunteer work. Everybody had to come out, and we had to plant trees or tend to trees. We have to spray them against pests. We had to cut the grass. And so forth. We had to sweep the roads, literally, that were running by our five-story apartment blocks. So it was, in a way, a nice thing that people got together, but it was an opportunity to grumble about the Communist Party and about the control.
So wait a minute. The government owned the building.
Of course.
And so you paid rent to the government.
Yes.
And you maintained the building.
Yes.
And you were taken care of under communism.
Yes, we had to take yeah, we were really taken care of. And after that, we were all equally paid and miserably unhappy and uncared for.
So anybody who thinks communism is such a great thing should be listening to this.
Well, I hope they do, but usually they don't. They get their news from Yahoo.com or from whatever talk show host there is on HBO.
That's very true. You said you went to Tennessee to actually go and check out the gated Hampton Reserve.
Yes.
Why did you do that? What was the issue?
Well, one of my children was contemplating buying a home in that area, building a home. And, you know, I'm just curious. I wanted to see for myself what was going on. And once I got there, I was really shocked about the illegal embroilment with 92 lots of the Homeowners Association. It is in a very secluded area, not far from Dolly Parton's home and their beautiful brick home. And they had a lot of problems. A lady named Susan DeKuyper sued three former HOA board members who had subsequently resigned, alleging that, quote, they tried to obtain neighborhood common land, end of quote. And, of course, I wanted to make sure that the quotes were accurate, and I looked up the Tennessean, and they were discussing this as well. And it was quite interesting because the people who were on the board were trying to acquire some of the land of the 13 acres they had for common areas where they were supposed to build a pool house and a community center and build their own homes. They needed a little extra land to build, buy their own homes, a swimming pool. And they were trying to do this without any approval from the other residents. It was all underhanded. They were blocking emails from people. They were trying to take all sorts of liberties for themselves that they were not entitled to. In other words, they were trying to circumvent any opposition to their plans by soliciting proxy votes from residents going door to door to get enough voting rights of homeowners, often without their knowledge of the board's agenda. So that was quite interesting because I understand, I've spoken to other people, that this happens in other HOA associations. And, of course, only board members are allowed to vote these proxies. Anyway, so the case of this lady, De Kuyper, sued three of the board members, and the case went to court, to the Tennessee Middle District Court, I think on the 27th of August, 2013. And by the way, these lawsuits are not cheap, and they go on and on and on. She had to pay $400 to file the lawsuit. And I checked recently, as recent as yesterday, and the case still has not been decided. In, I think, the last extension or order on motion for extension was yesterday. So nothing has been decided yet. Isn't that interesting?
No, not really, because you have the attorneys who are going to extend this as much as they can. They're the only ones who are going to make out on this.
Sure.
And they'll just file all kinds of motions. They'll put in for extensions. And the clock keeps ticking, and they're, you know, what they're owed just keeps growing. So that's how they make their money.
Right, of course.
So, yeah, that happens all the time. I mean, these things drag out for years and years and years. And what really, really annoys me no end is that if they end up going to arbitration, or if they end up going to mediation, or if they get to the point where the homeowner says, I'm out of money, I cannot do it, so let's come to some agreement, or the board realizes they're going to lose, and they're going to lose big time, and they don't want that on there, they'll come to some agreement, but there's always going to be a confidentiality clause. And there's always a threat there. If you disclose the contents of this agreement, we will come back and you will owe us X number of dollars. So the homeowner agrees to it, thinking this will just put an end to it, call their bluff. The only reason they want a confidentiality clause is because what they're doing is not going to withstand public scrutiny. If they want to settle, they're going to settle whether you sign that confidentiality clause or not. So keep them dragging. Take the upper hand and say no. No confidentiality clause. Because, you know, the homeowners are going to end up paying for that. And they're not going to be allowed to know what their money's going for.
Well, the other danger is, Shu, is that with this newest decision by the Supreme Court, where they have literally rewritten the law twice, I'm speaking of the health care, the Affordable Care Act, we're basically in the pre-Magna Carta days when any kind of document can arbitrarily be rewritten or reinterpreted by the court, in which case any kind of contract that you have with anybody, it doesn't really say what it says. It says what the judge decides it says. So I would be very scared as a homeowner to go to court now, to be frank with you.
No, I agree with you. And fortunately, there are a couple of really good judges in Fairfax County. If you get a good attorney who knows what they're talking about and who's willing to do the homework, some of the homeowners have won, and they've won big. There have been some good wins for the homeowners. But you're right. Going to court is a crapshoot, even in Fairfax County, because you don't know which judge you're going to get.
Well, I won't disclose too much information, but I can tell you from the past, I went to court in a former state that I resided in, and I had the city engineer, I had evidence, I had photographs, and the person who sued me over a tree, which, by the way, a storm knocked down and the tree was perfectly healthy, won. And do you know why?
Why?
You're going to laugh at this. I didn't know why until the next day, when this very judge who judged our case came to this lady's door, and they embraced very happily. They were dating. So no wonder I lost.
Did you appeal that? I mean,
no.
He should have disclosed that.
It was a small claims court. It didn't matter. I think it was the damage was maybe $300, but it was just I was trying to make the point. Under any other circumstance, I would have paid the money and not have gone to court. It was just $300. But I was trying to make a case that it was nature. I did not deliberately refuse to cut down a dead tree. It was a very much live, young tree, and it was easily uprooted by the wind. We always had straight-line winds where I lived. And it did no damage to this lady's property whatsoever. It was just it was just more a vendetta, and we did not have HOA at the time in the area. So,
wait, it didn't do her damage. So what was the issue? I mean,
that I was a neglectful homeowner, that I should have cut the tree down, that I should have seen that it was going to. To be damaged by any storm. And the tree had been there for, oh, probably 5 years.
So a tree falls in your yard, does not damage her, and she wants to...
No, it fell in her yard, but...
Oh, it fell in her yard.
It fell in her yard, but she was upset over all the leaves and stuff that she had to clean up after they removed the tree. After I hired somebody to remove the tree.
Why, oh boy. So
yeah.
we just became neighbors. Earlier you said that when you were forced to join together and work together, and you all when you lived in your 300 square foot communist run building, was there a sense of community there? You said you got together and you talked, mostly moaned and groaned.
Yeah, we didn't talk any serious stuff. Obviously, we would have gone to jail, would have been disappeared. You know, people ratted on each other all the time. But people would moan, oh, I'd rather go to work than do this, things of this sort. And the kids, of course, loved it because they asked kids too to come. As a matter of fact, on my last trip to Romania, I went to my hometown and checked on my tree that I planted when I was about 12 years old, and it was still very much alive and huge. And we had to do things that they told us to do or else.
I was talking to someone just recently, and we were talking about the use of the word community when describing associations. And I don't like to use that word community because there's nothing communitarian at all about living in an HOA. I mean, your neighbors are coming to check on you to make sure that you are doing what you are supposed to be doing. And, you know, it's more like a police state.
Yes, it is.
And I lamented the fact that there was a time if you came home or you were home and, you know, your neighbor was detained and couldn't get home and their kid couldn't get in the house or they ran out of something. You know, you were there as a neighbor. You took their kids in, you loaned them a cup of sugar or gave them a cup of sugar. Whatever the deal was, I mean, there was a sense of neighborliness, a sense of community. Now, if that happened, you would look out the window and you'd see the neighbor's kid outside. And instead of saying, come on in until your mom gets home, you call the police.
I know.
We've just changed our entire way of thinking, this entire mentality that goes hand in hand with what we're building now. It's just horrible.
Yeah, I totally agree. As a matter of fact, on our street, I only know two people that I have actually spoken to and have been in their homes. I don't know anybody else, and nobody else knows us. People don't even wave to each other or stop to speak. It's a very cold, cruel, police state-like environment. And here we are. They're coming around to check whether the trampolines are safe for kids, and they have barriers so kids don't fall. But they don't even know who our kids are or whether we have kids or not. They're coming to check for playhouses, for patios, for decks, storm doors, and so forth, and whether you have missing shingles. How are you going to know that I have missing shingles? How are you going to get all the way up there? Are you going to bring a big ladder, or are you going to employ a drone, like you said earlier? They're going to check, you know, there's so much intrusive stuff, and yet we don't even know who these people are.
Yeah, and what are their qualifications?
What
are the, I mean, are they engineers? Do they know whether, you know, whether the trampolines are safe? Do they know whether your deck is safe?
Of course not. I know a couple of the people on the board. One of them is an accountant, and the other one is a housewife. Granted, a housewife has a lot of experience raising kids and probably common sense, but she's not an engineer.
Well, I think the thing that really annoys me is that we give, this whole concept is giving neighbors powers and authority and expecting them to do things that they really and truly are not in the least bit qualified to do.
Okay. Let me give you another example. Hedges. They have to be neatly trimmed. Okay. Who decides what's neat or not?
Mm-hmm.
Hedges close to the home should not block the windows of the home. Can you tell me why that is? Are you trying to spy through my windows into my home?
There was an association years ago that I heard about. Unfortunately, this did not grow beyond a certain place, but this association said that by a certain time in the morning, your windows, your drapes, your blinds, whatever you had to be open, and that you all had to have a certain kind of furniture. Your interior decor had to be similar because they didn't want people walking down the sidewalk or driving down the street looking in your house, seeing an early American decor in one house, followed by a very modern one in the second house, followed by Scandinavian in the third house, followed by a lot of antiques. I mean, this is going to devalue property. I think the nuts are running the country.
I think so. The nuts are in charge of the asylum.
I mean, who would come up with stuff like that?
I really don't know. I don't even go to these meetings anymore simply because I get, my blood pressure goes up because the level of control is unbelievable. It's reminiscent of the times when I was a teacher. I taught for 30 years, and we had every Tuesday faculty meetings that lasted sometimes over 2 hours. And I can tell you that absolutely nothing of importance was discussed during those 2 hours that could not have been addressed in a one-paragraph email.
We're talking to Ileana Johnson. Ileana, give us your website.
It's Ileana Johnson, Ileana Johnson.com. I have a blog, RomanianConservative.com. And I also write for Canada Free Press 2 to 3 articles a week.
Wow, you're a busy lady.
I try to be.
Where'd you find the time to get all that done?
Well, my kids are grown. My husband is at work. So I have to have something to do, right?
I agree with you. I agree. And you're filling your hours very, very constructively. So I thank you for doing that. How many articles, how much research, and how much have you done on HOAs in general? I only have this one article. Have you done this before?
I have read several articles, obviously, along the way as I was researching Agenda 21, because oftentimes Agenda 21 issues intermingle with HOA issues, but HOA is obviously not my forte because I hate commies in general, and in my opinion, these people who staff these boards are people who also double as communist apparatchiks. But let me tell you that I agree in principle with having a nice community, not having 3 feet of grass and junk and rusted out trash in somebody's yard. I can understand that. But this is just going above and beyond. It is a form of population control. And interestingly, as much as they're trying to protect our property values, now this regime is telling various associations that they're not diverse enough, and they have now plans to build in between these expensive homes that some people have worked their entire lives for to build or to buy. They're building low-income housing, and some of the HOAs are on board with that, or their arms are being twisted to be on board with that. I'm not sure. As I was doing research for Agenda 21, I came upon another interesting issue of eco villages. That's not far from us. It's in Loudoun County, Virginia. So here's the issue. They have set up an area back in 1996 where only a certain number of homes could be built on this property, and they wanted, they literally called it an eco-village because they wanted to reduce their carbon footprint. And people could only pick from 6 different styles of homes, and they left the roads rough on purpose with gravel to control, obviously, the rainwater, quote-unquote, pollution, to control the water runoff, and they don't mow the lawn. I think they have certain wild grasses. They don't plant actual lawn grass, and they are, in essence, adopting a 19th century lifestyle, but in a very expensive home. They have solar panels and that sort of thing. And the homes are anywhere from $359,000 to $1.7 million. And obviously that's not something that the average American can afford.
There, I have not heard about those. I will definitely check them out, the Eco Villages. There have been, over the years, so many different notions and ideas, and I call it social engineering, because some bright spark comes up with some brilliant idea about how we're going to do, one of them is the walkable communities, and then you have the traffic calming, and it's sort of new urbanism. And they're going to control people by the way they build things. They're going to make sure that you know your neighbors by where they place your kitchen. And your kitchen's got to be in front. You're going to have a window on the sidewalk. There's not going to be any front yard. You're going to be able to see who comes and goes. You're going to be able to say hi, neighbor, as they walk past and go to pick up their mail from communal mailboxes. You're not going to have mailboxes in your yard anymore. I mean, these were all these plans and these wacky ideas, and they were going to mix people up. They were going to have people of different economic levels, different interest levels. They're just going to mix everyone up so that everyone can commingle and live together happily ever after. What happened, what they realized, was that people liked living in neighborhoods they felt comfortable with. don't put some family of newly immigrated Chinese people who don't speak a word of English in a neighborhood where nobody speaks Chinese. Don't put elderly people in neighborhoods or on streets where everybody has screaming kids. Don't put kids in an over 55 neighborhood because, first of all, you know, the over 55 don't want it. They've raised their kids. They've gone away. They, you know, they want the peace and quiet. And for the kids, there's no one for them to play with. There's no one for them to work with. You cannot, and this is something that people just don't understand, you cannot force people to be friends. You cannot force people to live together. It's just insane.
I totally agree. It is insane, but unfortunately it has happened. There are various social engineering plans across the United States, and they're pushed by the American Planning Association, the you know, and various other organizations, Sierra Club, and quite a few of them. But they're in line with this trying to rewild the environment and only move people along approved corridors. And you can see that in Maryland already. People can no longer build a home in the middle of a piece of property they bought because they can't put a septic tank on the property. If there's no sewer, they cannot build. So they can only attach to an approved existing sewer system. So that means that it will eliminate anybody wanting to have a farm or a farmhouse in the middle of nowhere unless they want to be without water and electricity. Yeah, it's already happening, and it is still tying in with UN Agenda 21. The one thing that I liked about these eco-villagers is that they planted about 11,000 trees in order to replace whatever flora existed with indigenous varieties, which I think that's a good thing. However, on the downside, according to National Geographic, any species of flora that we have now that are not local represents biological imperialism. So what are you going to do? Start forcing people to pull out all their plants and their beds and so forth? And it has actually happened in my neighborhood. I watched a couple of summers ago, one of my neighbors across the lake had her entire garden pulled because she did not seek permission or get permission from the HOA. Yeah. And the garden was inside a fenced area. Her whole property was fenced in, and nobody could see it but her. Well, I could see it because I was on the second floor, but it's just unbelievable. Why? Why are you pulling up people's gardens?
Well, because they didn't get permission, Mother May I.
Right, because they're in line with this biological imperialism.
It's this control freakishness, and also it provides an opportunity. If you're looking at strictly HOAs, strictly residential associations, you have the attorneys who write the governing documents, and they're the ones who advise the boards, and they'll make them do this because it is the attorneys who make the money. It is the attorneys who advise. I mean, they're on the clock. They're going to say, oh, well, if you don't do this, then somebody's going to sue you for not enforcing the governing documents. And then that's going to be terrible. Well, what they won't tell you is that that all board members are indemnified. And even if you do get sued, you go to, you know, the association covers the cost. There's no money out of their own pockets. I mean, the whole system is so convoluted and so abhorrible.
I came across, and this is, on my street, everybody is from another country with the exception of a couple of homes. They are Americans. They just came from somewhere else, and I'm not sure if they're American citizens or not. And they never speak to each other. I'm sure they all speak English, but they never speak to one another. And yet you could say, oh, you live on the most diverse street possible. It's like the United Nations. I came upon an article yesterday. I was doing some research. They're now forcing diversity at the university. So they held this year the first ever diversity conference, indoctrinating administrators and faculty members how to make their universities more diverse because they're not diverse enough. It's absolutely insane. All this multiculturalism in Europe that has failed miserably, it obviously is not teaching these people who are on the diversity bandwagon now a thing.
No, we just don't learn. We just keep repeating the same stupid mistakes over and over and over again. And what is it? What is the saying? You make a mistake once, you learn from it. You make a mistake a second time, you're a dodo bird. not quite that.
No offense to the dodo bird.
No, right.
Well, I didn't tell you about these. This is sort of an aside of the eco-village that you have to check out in Loudoun County. But they live since 2001, so they are, the whole community is about 14 years old. They're in a straw bale house with timber beams encased in thick stucco walls. Now, I lived in the early 60s in communist Romania in my grandma's straw and mud house in the country, and it was kind of a heaven for mice and rats because they tunneled and made their homes inside the walls. And if I had to choose between living like that and living in a brick home, I think I'll choose the brick home. Thank you.
Oh, I know. I mean, the construction in this country is a disgrace.
Yes.
It's you know, they frame it with toothpicks and then they put it together. And my listeners will send me emails. Everything's made of cardboard and scotch tape.
It really is. One of my good friends who is Italian, she built her home in Virginia Beach, and it took her 6 years because they built it the old Italian way. It's so well built and hurricane proof that she cannot use her cell phone inside the house. That's how thick the walls are. It doesn't work. But anyway, when she comes to my house, she goes, oh, your house is built of spit.
Your house is built of what?
Of spit. S-P-I-T. Spit.
Spit. Yeah. You look at this stuff and it's just unbelievable. So, you're doing a lot of research on the Agenda 21, and you sort of tied in a little bit on the connection between Agenda 21 and HOAs. A lot of people just don't seem to get that connection. They don't seem to understand that there's a bigger picture here.
Oh, absolutely. There's a community in my own county, in Prince William County, that's built on Agenda 21 principles. And, of course, it has an HOA, obviously, and it has a covenant. I hate that word because, actually, the Agenda 21, the UN Agenda 21, has a covenant, which is like a constitution for the environmentalist wackos. And so, and their word, the acronym is DICED, but it's DICED, D-I-C-E-D, and it is like a global or world constitution for environmentalists. I put it in my Agenda 21 book. I think it's on page 29. And they call their covenant, and so I hate that word, covenant. It's called the Draft International Covenant on Environment and Development. That's DICED, D-I-C-E-D. So Anyway, so here we are in my own county. We have an intertwining of this HOA-ruled development, which is developed by the bay, by the river, by the Potomac River, and it is according to UN Agenda 21 tenets.
A covenant in its most basic form means contract. And
right.
It's out there, and if it's a covenant, then it's a contract, and if it's a contract, then you've agreed to it. And nobody understands what they're agreeing to. Nobody realizes that by buying into these associations, they're stuck with some of this nuttiness.
Oh, absolutely. What really gets me is the fact that here you are pretending to protect the value of our property by controlling everything that we do around the house, outside of the house, and at the same time, you are adding low-income housing essentially between some of these nice homes, and that automatically reduces the value of your property. So how is that a good covenant, a good contract for the homeowners? It isn't.
When they started mass-producing HOAs, they needed to convince people to buy into them. And so they said it protects property values, that an HOA will protect your property values. So you ask them, how is an HOA going to protect your property values? Well, it's going to prevent people from putting cars up on blocks. Okay. It's going to prevent people from painting their front doors red. Okay. But how is that going to protect your property values? Why is it that a red door is going to devalue your property? Why is it that local municipal zoning ordinances cannot take care of cars that are on blocks? Why do you need an HOA? Well, to protect your property values, prove it. Actually, an HOA devalues property. Your property is worth less because it is in an HOA than it would be if it weren't. Same house, same everything. So that's nonsense, Ileana.
Of course it is.
It does not protect property values.
And the people, the board itself, the HOA board, has been infiltrated by outsiders, NGOs, non-governmental organizations, who are actually now running the originally set HOAs, which is the case in where I live. And these NGOs are actually people who have formed visioning committees to run your neighborhood, and they tell you that it is the desire of the neighborhood, that they have polled the neighborhood, and they have asked them, and this is what the neighborhood wants, and it's not true. It is their visioning, their desires that they're imposing on all the homeowners.
What kind of things are they coming up? What visions do they have?
Well, it's anything from what types of doors you should have, shutters, roofs, exterior lighting. Why should I put CFL bulbs? Maybe I have a good supply of old bulbs, and I want to use it up. What kind of steps you should have, what kind of walkways, what kind of plants, what kind of trees, what kind of retaining walls. Everything has to conform to their views. I can tell you that in 6 years I've lived here, I had to change the mailbox 3 times and the lamppost 3 times because the previous people didn't like the color scheme.
Now, are those in the governing documents, or are they just things that people have come up with?
They're just things that people have come up with, and people just don't have time to fight it, nor the inclination to fight it because it seems so insignificant. But by not fighting it, we're giving them more and more power.
Because that sounds like they're acting outside the scope of their authority.
Of course they are. And they tell some people they can't fly the American flag. They can't have a garden or fruit trees in the backyard. You can put ordinary trees, but if you have a fruit tree, that's not approved. You can't have in some places Christmas lights and ornaments or Easter decorations. In some places you can't have satellite dishes on the roof, even though that's the only way you can get reception. It has to be on the ground. You can't have children visitors, as you know, in some areas. You can't have pets. We can't have yard sales in our neighborhood. How is that going to reduce the property of my home if somebody has a yard sale for 2-3 hours on a Saturday? You can't have vans parked in the driveway. What if I like vans and I don't want to drive cars? So it's just so just annoying. It's not the word, but it's so intrusive.
Well, it sounds like they're acting outside the scope of their authority. I'm not sure that they have the authority to do what you say they're doing. And, yeah, you know, when you get these demands to change your mailbox or to do all of this, you know, ask them to cite their authority. Coming up with this notion that, you know, your neighbors approved this is nonsense, because if they're amending the governing documents, if they're amending the covenants or the declaration or whatever you want to call it, there's a method for doing that, and they have to have an affirmative vote, usually of a supermajority of the owners, because they're interfering with contract. And there's the OTARD laws. Washington did something right in terms of satellite dishes. They cannot prevent you from getting a signal. If the only way you're going to get a signal is on the roof, then they cannot stop you from putting the satellite on the roof.
Well, I realize that, and we fought that battle. One of my friends who lives in an HOA was told to take her holiday decorations off, and they were referring to her small American flag that was in her window. So the American flag now has become holiday decoration.
They have. It's absolutely insane. It's absolutely insane.
I'm the only person on my street who flies the American flag, and I am a naturalized American.
It sounds like all your neighbors are, too.
Well, I don't know if they are or not. That's not my problem, but I'm the only one flying the flag. So I'll have to see now, 4th of July, what happens.
There's a federal law that says that, you know, they cannot prevent you from flying the flag. NGOs, non-government organizations, one of the most intrusive ones is the Community Associations Institute, and they fought, argued, lobbied for the association's ability to regulate when, for how long, what time, how, and all of the other things on flying the American flag. And of course, the government said, oh, okay, because you see, if your neighbor didn't come over and make sure that you were doing it properly, they were afraid that it might not be safe. So again, here's the guy with the engineering degree or the construction degree, or, you know, it doesn't matter. He's just going to come in and decide whether or not you can do it and how you can do it and what time you can do it and how high can you jump.
It's very, very sad, because now the word sustainable development have made their way into some of the emails that we receive from the HOA. And I thought, well, why not? Sustainable development has now become the buzzword of every state and federal agency, and we have plans for sustainable development at every level of society. So why not?
I wish they would explain what they mean. Sometimes they just throw these words out and it just sounds so pretty.
Yeah, I think they don't understand that don't. What really smart growth and livability and walkability and green growth really mean. It is a loss of your rights, and it is a form of total control.
Ileana, we're out of time. I am so glad you came on, and thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Sue. I really appreciate it.
And I hope you'll be back soon.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.